as soon as communism was firmly seated in power, and then the persecutions and massacres began. The cry of the land for the people will be taken up by many in Ireland who interpret this to mean that they will have private property in land. A decree of a communist government, if it were once installed, would open their eyes. The same propaganda will appeal to the workers of the six counties on the ground that they are exploited by the Protestant capitalists, as the Catholics of the South are exploited by the rich landowners. Appeals may even be made to Orange men, accompanied by statements about guarantees of full freedom of conscience and religious worship. In all this, nationality is placed above the mystical body of Christ, in accordance with the Judeo-Masonic revolutionary tradition. We Catholics know from the history of every country in Europe and America since 1789, as well as from the traditions of the Orange Order, what we have to expect from these guarantees. If groups of Orange men are induced by communist propaganda to turn against some of their Masonic trainers, it will be a case of criminals punished by the very organization which they themselves have set up. What, then, is the role assigned to the Orange Society amongst the forces of disorder? The spread of this society was favored from 1795 onwards by the English government in Ireland as an offset to the international revolutionary spirit of the French Revolution. The English minister Pitt had come to see that English influence, which had favored the diffusion of Masonry on the continent as a powerful instrument for the weakening of rivals and for English aggrandizement, was not supreme in Masonry, but that its destructive action was turning against its English patrons. Masonry was doing splendid work for England by destroying French national institutions at the Revolution, but the spread of its doctrines amongst Irish Protestants through the Society of the United Irishmen was a boomerang blow, which England countered by organizing the Orange Society as a sub-Masonry. Masonic control of the Orange Society is ensured through the Purple Men. Dr. Cleary treats of this point as follows, quote, "Since the sixth and seventh chapters went through the press, I find that the number of inner rings or wheels within wheels of the Society is far greater than originally stated by me, or there appears in any printed lodge document or other authorities consulted by me when preparing this book for the press. The reader is already aware that Orange men and Purple men meet to transact business in the same lodges, and that the Purple men have different secrets, signs, passwords, oaths, or obligations, etc., which they are not permitted to divulge to those of the lower degree. When Purple business is about to be transacted, or to use the technical phrase, when the lodge is to be raised to Royal Arch Purple, RAP degree, the mere Orange men are requested to take themselves out of the room, and the lodge is cautiously tiled against prying ears and eyes before the proceedings are commenced. Above the Purple Order, there are various higher degrees. Tried Purple men are eligible for membership of the lodges of the Royal Black Preceptory. As far as I've been able to learn, each of these degrees has its special colors, emblems, oaths, and secrets, which are to be jealously guarded from the knowledge of the uninitiated. The Purple Men's emblems are, if I am rightly informed, a five-pointed star. Each of these symbols has a special meaning which must not be divulged to mere Orange men." End of quote. It is certainly curious how frequently one meets with that five-pointed star. A Jewish writer in the Communist of Kharkov, Russia, points out that the symbol of Jewry, the red five-pointed star, has been adopted as the symbol of the Russian proletariat, being worn on the caps of Lenin's guards. As Orange men are supposed to know something about the Bible, they will be interested to learn that St. Stephen, the first papist to be martyred, is said by some to have alluded to this star when he cried out to the Jews, "And you look unto you, the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god, Rempham, figures which you made to adore them." Needless to say, the Masonic esoteric signification of the five-pointed star, as well as that of the Seal of Solomon, the interlaced triangles, is pantheistic. All Catholics should take to heart the words of the present Holy Father, Pope Pius XI, in the encyclical letter Caritate Christi Compulsi, on the troubles of our time. the Holy Father points out the duty of loving rightly one's native land. Quote, right order of Christian charity does not disprove of lawful love of country and a sentiment of justifiable nationalism. On the contrary, it controls, sanctifies, and enlivens them. If, however, egoism, abusing this love of country, and exaggerating this sentiment of nationalism, insinuates itself into the relations between people and people, there is no excess that will not seem justified, and that which between individuals would be judged blameworthy by all is now considered lawful and praiseworthy if it is done in the name of this exaggerated nationalism. Instead of the great law of love and human brotherhood, which embraces and holds in a single family all nations and peoples with one Father who is in heaven, there enters hatred, driving all to destruction.